Back in the late 1980s, many of you remember the late 1980s. Some of you don't even know what 1985 means because you weren't around, but that's okay. We came to this place on top of the hill in Philippi, West Virginia, and went to school there and expanded my horizons from Wirt County and realized that there was life outside of Elizabeth, West Virginia, and the big metropolis of Philippi and AB College at that time. But I got these things in the mail all the time up at the college where it said, "You can have a credit card. You have been pre-approved for an American Express Platinum credit card." Well, I didn't have any income to speak of, a little bit of work study. What in the world were they giving me credit for? But it was about that time when there were commercials that came out for American Express. And I don't know if you remember the tagline of some of those commercials. Membership has its privileges. And boy, those commercials, I'm telling you what, you saw the most expensive kind of scenes there, and it all seemed to be that the credit card make it happen. Well, today we want to talk about membership, and we do want to talk about its privileges, but it doesn't have anything to do with a credit card in that sense. I want to tell you a story this morning about Tom Rainier, a former Southern Baptist pastor who is now the chief CEO of Lifeway Publishing. It's a wonderful publishing house that puts out great materials, and he shares this story with us today. It was a big deal for this young boy living in the small southern town. I didn't know what a country club was, but I knew one was coming to town, and it included a swimming pool, a dining area, and meeting rooms. The owners also promised to build a small golf course, a promise they would fulfill a couple of years later. Now, don't get the wrong impression. The country club was not the typical upscale clubs we often envision. It was really a small private enterprise trying to make a few bucks in a small town by offering a few amenities. But I was overwhelmed. My parents were middle class in income, so they could afford the small monthly fee. From my perspective, though, I had it made. I could now go to a swimming pool. I didn't know of anyone who had their own pool in town, so this amenity was exciting. I could order a burger from the dining area, and we could have a birthday party in the pool or the meeting rooms. I began to learn a lesson. Membership means perks. Membership means privileges. Membership means others will serve me. Just pay the going rate, and you can have others taking care of you while you enjoy a life of leisure. And tragically, he concludes, this understanding of membership is what many think in terms of what a church member means. This is my church, so you have to play the music just the way I want it. Look, pastor, you need to remember who pays your salary. If you don't do this program, I'll withhold my check to the church. I've been a member of this church for over 30 years, so I have a right to get what I want. I don't pay good money to this church to listen to sermons that are way too long. Okay, you may get the picture. Those, unfortunately, typical comments come from members of churches who have an unbiblical view of membership. Their view of membership is more aligned with country club status. For them, membership is about receiving instead of giving, being served instead of serving, rights instead of responsibilities, and entitlements instead of sacrifice. This wrongful view of membership sees the tithes and offerings as membership dues that entitle members to a never-ending list of privileges and expectations instead of an unconditional, cheerful gift to God. So what does the Bible say about church membership? I'm so glad you asked. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, may we hear God's word even today. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. This morning, I want us to take some opportunity to see what membership really is about. And the very first thing we want to look at is membership is to fulfill. Membership is to fulfill. There are a number of places in the New Testament where we can see a clear picture of church membership. One of the most voluminous sections is right here that we've read out of this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 all the way to 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul explains the metaphor of the church being a body with many members. In 1 Corinthians 13... he established love as the central attitude and action all members should have. And in 1 Corinthians 14, he returns to the messed up church at Corinth that has the concept of membership all wrong. Some church leaders and members view membership as a modern business or organizational concept, so they reject the label as unbiblical. Membership, to the contrary, is very biblical. The Bible explains members differently than the secular culture. In Romans 12, 27 and 28, we see, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has placed these in the church." Do you get the difference between what the world says is a member and what the Bible says is a member? Members of a church comprise the whole and are essential parts of it. The Apostle Paul would carry the body metaphor further and explain that members are individual parts of the body. Some are eyes, others are ears, some are feet, others our hands. That's why he concludes by saying, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ." In 1 Corinthians 12, 12. So one of the things we look at to begin with is that we fulfill this idea of what membership is. We are a necessary part of the whole. The body of Christ is not complete without you. Something is missing. With a country club membership, you pay others to do the work for you. With church membership, everyone has a role or function. That's why some are hands, feet, ears, eyes. We're all different, but we are necessary parts of the whole. Each part, therefore, has to do the work, or the whole body suffers. There is a beautiful diversity in the midst of unity in church membership. The Bible makes it clear that if one part does not do its part, the whole body does not function well. But if one part does its job well, the whole body rejoices and is stronger. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. We have this picture of what it means to fulfill membership. And it involves us being a necessary part of the whole, and that we are different, but we still work together. Unity in diversity. And that is what makes the body of Christ so strong. So membership, its privilege is to fulfill, but it also its privilege is to follow. There is a biblical mandate in which we can follow out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most Bible readers will speak lovingly of 1 Corinthians 13, commonly known as the love chapter. It is one that is read many times at weddings. It's used for a husband to declare his love for a wife, or vice versa. It is preached to demonstrate a fuller meaning of agape, or unconditional love. Now, there's nothing wrong with using the love chapter in that sense, but also it's great for us to see its original context. It was right here in between 12 and 14 to that early church at Corinth to demonstrate how church members relate to one another. Can you imagine 1 Corinthians 13 being read in the middle of a business meeting that is very, very heated? It might be even strange to look at it in that particular context. But in fact, it's the very best place for us to read it. If we could just abide by the principles of the love chapter, we would have completely healthy churches. It would, in fact, be a revelation. Look at these relational principles out of 1 Corinthians 13. These are verses 4 and 5 of 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. Does not act improperly. Is not selfish. Is not provoked. And does not keep a record of wrongs. The principles of these two verses alone are sufficient to cause a revival in God's church. We are not to love fellow church members just because they are lovable. We are to love the unlovable as well. We are not to pray for and encourage our pastors just when they are doing things we like. We are to pray for and encourage them when they do things we don't like. We are not to serve the church only when others are joining in. We are to serve the church even if we are alone in doing so. Church membership is founded on love, authentic, biblical, unconditional love. Membership is to fulfill the idea that your part, if it's missing, makes the entire body suffer. We are to follow the mandate from Scripture to love one another. And ultimately, membership has a function. Each church member needs to be a functioning church member. Do you know how to remain a member of a country club? Pay your dues, Do that, and people will be available to serve you. Do you know how to remain a biblical member of a church? Give abundantly and serve without hesitation. So, this idea of a biblical member, a survey was taken of churches across the country. Let's say there are 300 members on a church roll. A third of those church members would really be the only ones you would consider active or a member of that particular church. We have a lot of people on a lot of church rolls across the nation, but they are not stepping forward and allowing themselves to be the member that they've signed up to be. The type of membership we're talking about is not something that goes just in a book somewhere. It's about what we do as we connect to the body of Christ. It's that idea back in 1 Corinthians 12 that he mentions at least 6 different body parts. The foot, the hand, the ear, the eye, and it says about the sense of smell, so certainly the nose. Each of these parts is supposed to function. The foot to walk, the hand to grasp, the ear to hear, the eye to see, the nose to smell, or sniffle in my case. We who are church members are still supposed to function in the church. The concept of an inactive church member is actually an oxymoron. Biblically, no such member really exists. Such is the reason we are exhorted to know our gifts and abilities so we can use them best to serve the church for the glory of God. We had a letter come in this week from the Heart and Hand House, and they were giving an update on what had been going on in the last month in ministry, and there's always a little paragraph that they try to customize as to your particular church and how they have been contributing. And a lot of times they'll tell us about, we give at least $175 a month to Heart and Hand. And so a lot of times they'll highlight that and they'll thank us as a church for doing that. Well, this time it was a little paragraph and it said, thank you for the 3 baby blankets that your church has given. Well, I didn't know anything about baby blankets that our church has given. So I left a little note on the Mary Martha classroom desk this morning. I said, would you all know anything about these baby blankets that have been given? And I got a great report this morning from Martha Rose Roy. Those 3 were given from our women's circle, the quilting circle that meets on Mondays. Jody, does that sound about right? Okay. And more specifically, Jody probably helped in that contribution. It was a beautiful piece. Did anybody know that Jody made those 3 baby blankets for the Heart and Hand Ministry and did it on behalf of Philippi Baptist Church? Martha Rose had a great statistic for me this morning. At least $20,000 has been raised for nonprofit organizations out of that quilting circle on Mondays that meets at Jody over the last few years, where they have donated what they make with their own hands, and then that has been given to be used in some way to raise money for others. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful testimony for what the membership to the body of Christ looks like, and how we function in ways that we don't even know, in some senses, how that really all functions together from our perspective. All right, Caleb and Michael, it's your turn. It's hard to know for certain. Church membership roles are not always easy to research. Some churches just refuse to face reality. But for our best, from the best estimates, we think most church roles are overinflated by at least a factor of 3. Many even might question, well, what does it mean to be a church member? And in that sense, Over the next few Sundays, we're going to be entering into a time to maybe look at what it means to be connected to the body of Christ. We are going to be using the word member. You may not have ever come forward voluntarily or otherwise and joined this membership, but I'm talking about what does it mean to be a member of the body of Christ. I'm not just talking about what's on this, the roles of this particular church. So as we look at these over the next few weeks, if you're connected to Christ, you are a member of that body. Now, we'd love for you to formally make that happen. We have something called student membership. College students, you've got your own churches to be a part of. But while you're here, we graciously accept you under the watch care of this church to be a part so that you can be connected, so that you can have an opportunity to go forward. And so there's a little, and I apologize for the print size of this little, I'll read it. You've got to get your magnifying. It's like, you're signing a big document and you don't want to read the fine print at the bottom. I've made it such that it's very, but let me tell you what you might want to sign. You're not going to turn the little slip in, but it might be something that you can say for yourself, I'm going to step on board. There's going to be about 6 pledges that we have the opportunity to make. I don't need to see those, but is it something that we can agree to? Now, I am a church member. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Because I'm a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether I'm an eye or an ear or a hand, as a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others, I will remember that if any member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. What a great opportunity for us to reaffirm our membership into the body of Christ. Now let me say a word about the other that Sarah Ellen and Jennifer handed out earlier. This I would like for you to fill out and turn in today. We have an opportunity for the offering of our deacon relief. Fill that offering plate with these, if you would be so kind. It came out of a letter that Barbara Smith sent me, and Evelyn Bartram sent me a forward, and I saw it on my niece's Facebook up in Kingwood. But I want to ask our congregation a few questions. Can you name 4 people from church, not from the same household? So you can't put Eddie, Sarah, Chandler, and Gage, and be done with it. Okay, you know, don't do that. That you have spent time with or talked to outside of the church the most in the last month. And then can you name 4 people from church you would like to spend time with, talk to outside of church this coming month? And is there a person that comes to mind? I could have put the word member here, but I'm talking about a disciple of Jesus. Has there been somebody in the month of January that stands out to you that has been a disciple of Jesus? And you can even explain a little bit why if you want. These are confidential. No one else is going to see these but me. But it is an opportunity for us to be thinking together about what it means to be connected in the body of Christ. And I'll even say a little bit more next week about what this has to do with the story that Barbara gave me a little bit earlier. It is our privilege to sit at the Lord's table today because He has invited us to be a member in His body. We get to do that. We get to have the opportunity to recognize that His broken body and His shed blood were done so that we could be connected to Him. That kind of privilege today comes only because of His worthiness. And He invites us all to come and join His table. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we then prepare for our hymn. Almighty God, we are so thankful for us to understand that membership does have privileges, but it's in a slightly different way than we might think of from the world's standards. To fulfill these privileges means that we are apart and something is missing if we're not there. To follow your mandate to love one another, to show that at every opportunity in our walk with you, and to be a functioning member, to function with each other and to realize that we each have a role and a purpose to play in your kingdom. We thank you for this privilege again today to sit at your table and to do that as an opportunity to examine our own hearts, to prepare for a time in which you minister to us so that we can then go out and be your church. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.